Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
To Billard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I want to thank our good friend Carlos Ramirez for listening. What's up, Carlos?
Toma Papa
is
on the X,
tweeting out some ideas at me with regard to, and I like this idea. This is what I would do. I do think there is a way to structure a deal so that it is not so, you know, scary for the 49ers, because we know Brock Purdy is not a disaster of a quarterback. We at minimum know that. The whole tone of it is kind of funny to me. If this is his floor, well, this is it's not like he's just a ridiculously awful QB this year. He has not been as good. That's fair. But I think there is a way to structure a deal so that it is not in stone for 5 years, number one. And number two, I would like to see higher level play at the backup position. If Casey gets hurt, in case things get out of whack, have somebody else in there who, you know, you think could be interesting, kind of the way you did last year with Sam. And Carlos just tweeted that at me, and I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know necessarily exactly who the people are, but man, if Kyle Shanahan, and I'll still never know to my dying day if this was true, but if he was so damn rumored to be so infatuated with Mac Jones in the draft, well, let's see it. Let's see Mac Jones in the Kyle Shanahan system. Because the New England Patriots had a defensive coordinator calling plays for him, and now he's a backup with the Jags who have nothing. He's a starter.
Yeah, and looking pretty good.
Not terrible. Right? Like, that's kind of the point. You know, like, he looks like Sam Darnold used to look. So I don't know what he would do.
Last year, the rookie deal. Fifth-year option, not picked up.
I don't hate the idea of him as a backup next year.
Yeah, not bad. And he's, you know, fits kind of the mold for Kyle Shanahan. Not super tall. Not super good with the arm. But a guy who can, you know, make some of the throws. Diminutive.
Well, did Kyle love him as much as we were all told he did? If so, let's see it.
Well, if so, then if he really loved him as much as everyone thought, then you should have stuck at 12 and taken him at 12.
Agreed.
Instead of trading 3 first-round picks to move up and take Trey Lance, who also is a free agent.
Will be available. Exactly.
He's available. As for the contract, I'm looking at the Lamar Jackson deal that he signed. Grandy mentioned it before. He signed for 5 and 260, which is an average annual of 52. That's not important. The total guarantee was 135.
For which player is this?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar, okay.
And he's not as good as Lamar, but this is a deal that was signed a couple years ago, and he got $72.5 million signing bonus. Prorated over 5 years. So the first 3 years of the deal, not a huge cap hit. The fourth year, the cap hit is $75 million. So you get to that spot, and you know, you play out that year, and if Lamar still isn't good or he's hurt, he's 29, you can get out of it at that spot, and you can structure something with Brock accordingly.
Let's take some more calls. Patrick in Florida is on the line. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Willard and Dibs. It is a pleasure. I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you for the great content. Listen to you guys every day after work, and a little bit during, too. But what I wanted to say was, you know, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. Definitely don't think that Niners should move on from him. But one thing I have noticed is this whole man coverage thing. Because early in Brock's career, he was so good at adapting to when the league adapted to him. You know, that's the number one trait of a great quarterback. When the league has a book on you, you adapt to it. So early in his career, what did he do? He ran and rolled out to the left all the time. Teams caught on to that. He stopped doing it. All good. The other thing that happened was he wasn't very proficient at throwing deep early in his career. He didn't try it a lot, and when he did, it was just off. It didn't look good. So what happened? Defenses forced him to throw deep, and he quickly adjusted to that, and he became a nice deep ball thrower, at least last year and in the half year before that. So my question is, as far as this man coverage thing, this seems like it's something that he has not been able to shake this year. You look at those splits between, you know, his quarterback rating, his completion percentage and everything, zone coverage versus man coverage. He leads the league in zone coverage, and he's one of the worst when it comes to man. So what is that? Is it his arm strength? Is it the personnel around him as far as his wide receivers go? You know, I know that the Niners receivers were pretty bad as far as, you know, gaining separation this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, I want to lean towards that. But then at the same time, you know, the arm strength thing does make up a lot for those times where you got to just get it in there in that little window. And I feel like when they play man coverage, press man in particular, he's forced to do that a lot. So that's just the only concern is this is the one thing he hasn't been able to kind of shake this year, you know, and constant.
Yeah, and Patrick, thanks so much for the call. I would say, and Dibs, I bet you're going to agree with me, is some of that on Purdy's plate for sure, but it's much bigger than Purdy. Like, that's also Kyle Shanahan's assignment right now, I would argue. That it's definitely been Deebo Samuel's assignment, and I don't know if Deebo has the pencil in order to get this assignment done, because everybody we've talked to has said that's just not what Deebo does. He's not a man beater. And you know, that's maybe why they drafted Ricky Pearsall, because in theory he's supposed to be able to do that more. That's the evolution we're looking for. This started in the Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo said it out loud after the game.
Yeah.
And it literally signaled to the league. Because Spagnuolo, if you remember after the game, said, I told everyone on our sideline, we came out in zone, and he's like, this kid is picking us apart. We are dead if we stay here.
That's because the receivers are able to get open against it, and he can deliver the ball on time.
And so he switched to man, and they had really good corners, and they kind of, to a degree, not completely, but they at least slowed down Deebo and Brandon. And the 49ers as a group were unable to adjust. And the league came back this year and said, perfect, let's do that every time. And you've seen the results. And it still hasn't meant that the Niners were just like some horrible offense. That's not what the stats say. But it's been a lesser team. No question about that. That's the job for all of them. And Kyle has to lead that. And to me, Brock follows suit. So anyway, it's on him, but it doesn't start with him.
It's on all of them. It starts with Kyle, to me. And the scheme and something that Jerry said, and you played it last hour about, you know, the way they go about running their offense, he has to adapt and they have to go to more wide splits where you're going to widen out the defense and make your receivers have to go out there and beat a guy one-on-one. When you have everything tight to the line of scrimmage, and I'll ask Greg Cosell this tomorrow when we have him on our weekly visit, it seems a lot easier to cover when you don't have the same amount of space that you have to cover defensively. And, you know, Brock hasn't had the same amount of time. He's fled the pocket too eagerly. And, you know, Ricky Pearsall, I don't think, has, even after the shooting and he's gotten into the flow, he hasn't been as much of a man beater, a man threat in the offense as I had thought that he was going to be.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I just think the two of them have not, and for good reason, they're not on the same page yet. They just haven't had enough time together. Telmo in the city next up. Hi, Telmo. Thanks for the call.
What's up, fellas? How you doing today?
Good, Telmo.
I need you guys to know this because you'll appreciate it real quick. I lost my first round of the playoff matchup in fantasy yesterday by 12 tenths of a point.
Oh,
by 0.012 because of Sincere McCormick got hurt in the game. Had he had another 2 yards, I would have won. But anyways, I was sick. But anyways,
yeah.
Back to this Brock Purdy thing. What are we doing? What's going on here? Why are we having this conversation? I feel like this is all because of the generation where we get next day packages and all of our entertainment is in 30-second clips. It's all about like the right now, the immediacy of it all. Because are we forgetting who the heck Sam Darnold is? Like, he's nice, he has a good arm, he has moments. He's Sam Darnold. He's had so many years in the league to show us who he is. And we have Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy the perfect specimen of an athlete? No. Can he process? Can he play good football? Make good decisions? Is he experienced? Yes. Has he led? Has he taken a team further than Sam Darnold has ever closed his eyes and dreamt of at night? Yes. So people are like, oh, you know, they say the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. We need to commit to Brock, okay? And I don't understand. So what are you going to do? You're going to bring in Sam Darnold for $30 million, and then he falls apart, and then we're nowhere better off. We're just back on the turnstile of quarterbacks where we've been since God knows when, since the Jeff Garcia days. We have an opportunity. We found gold in the last pick of the 7th round in the NFL draft. He's taken the team to 2 NFC championship games and was really the defense a fourth down stop away from winning a Super Bowl, even though he didn't play great, but or one lineman had made a block and we would have won their Super Bowl. So I don't know what we're doing. I don't know where this conversation is. I don't know what's going on, but people need to just chill out, go believe in Brock, commit to Brock, keep building the team. The team needs adjustment anyways. Keep going down that path and let good things happen.
Yeah, Telmo, thank you very much for the call. And again, just to answer real quick, and I know you mean this rhetorically, but the conversation comes from Brian Baldinger, who is a big friend of the station, goes on with the roast every week.
NFL expert.
And he said, I'd flip Brock for Sam right now, which may not really be realistically possible, certainly with the way that he presented it. But the response from Telmo, I think, is a very fair one. I'll just say this, though. When he goes, hey, have we forgotten who Sam is? There's too much of that for me. Sam is this. Brock is this. Oh, but now Brock is this. And now Sam is this. Just like any other human being, like, these guys all have multiple personalities as employees, as quarterbacks. And it is based on what's going on around them. Brock is in a great system. The system broke down this year. Sam is now in a great system. And now you're getting that production. There's just, to me, there's a little bit too much labeling going on. These are living, breathing things each football season. Not done with it. More of you want to weigh in. We'll keep going. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. And I promised you the other sound from Baldinger with regard to the market on Sam and the decision ahead for Purdy. We'll play that for you next. Keep going with you. It's Willard and Dibs.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
What are we doing? What's going on here? Why are we having this conversation?
Now, back to
Will and Diddy
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, let's answer that. Because I sort of feel the same way. Now, I guess the quick answer, what are we doing here? Talking about Brock or Sam.
What are we doing?
It's a little bit of a cop-out to say, well, because Brian Baldinger said this.
I'd say I'd go flip them for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
So Minnesota, look, let's just think about Sam for a sec. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise, game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now you get Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Quezzy. You can play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give them top-flight money, or they could trade them. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger, stronger than what Brock is. Or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both in, I don't know, have a competition?
Okay, so, I don't agree. I don't even think that that's possible. We've talked about that, you know, and I'm not trying to pin Baldy in a weird spot, but he talks about trading for Sam. You're not allowed to do that. Trade deadline's over and Sam's a free agent at the end of the year. But like if Minnesota franchises him or does something different, then you could. So that's not even possible. The idea of bringing him in and having a competition with Brock would mean that you need to sign Sam to a very large deal and then bring him in to compete with someone who went to the Super Bowl just a handful of months ago. I think that makes your organization look absurd. So I don't think that any of that's possible. But I'll answer the question, Dibs. I don't know how you feel. We're not just having this conversation because Baldy said that. It is my sense, and this is our job, to have sort of a sense of what kind of makes you all go. It is my feeling that a lot of you, a lot of 49er fans, have questions, hesitations, and concerns in this moment, with the idea of Brock Purdy being their long-term quarterback and what it would mean for the rest of the roster.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger part of it. I don't think that there's doubt as far as Brock Purdy being good enough to win, but it's the money. It's the sticker shock and what that means for the rest of the roster. Because if you told the fan base right now that the two sides have agreed in principle to a five-year, $100 million deal, Brock Purdy's going to make $20 million a year for the next 5 years, I would bet the majority of Niner fans would sign up. Now, there are some who are just anti-Brock,
sure,
period, and I get that. You're entitled to it. I don't believe that. I think he's shown enough to be worth any amount of money, but if you gave Brock Purdy a really well below market deal, the majority of fans wouldn't blush, and they would say, okay, if it doesn't work out in a couple years, we can cut him and eat it from there. For me, the bigger issue is the money. And when you hear Tom Pelissero over the weekend say, why would Brock Purdy take anything other than top of the market? That's where fans start to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. We've watched it all year. He's regressed. He's not that good. He's a system guy. He's not worth $60 million a year. So that, to me, becomes where this is a topic, because Sam Darnold's not going to get top of the market money.
Correct.
No matter what. The best he's going to do is franchise money, franchise tag, or he gets a three-year deal somewhere. So for me, it's less about is Brock any good, and it's more about the sticker shock of Brock.
Okay.
The sticker Brock. Had to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what
good,
I do.
Good friend of mine has a conversation with me the other day, and I'm just being a dad, and I'm all concerned about some things with regard to my kids. And this woman says to me, what are you scared of? And I go, oh, okay, that's a good question. And then I lay it out, and I lay out this whole scenario for the next 2 to 5 years of my kids' lives. And she goes, okay, thank you for expressing that. Do you realize you just made up a story?
Right.
You just made up a story. None of that has happened. None of it is true. None of it is on the brink of happening. You made up a story.
And most of it's not going to happen, right? Most likely
sure.
Not going to happen.
Very, like, yes, made up a story. And this is what we do when we worry. We make up a story of something that's going to happen in the future. So every one of you that's worried about Brock and $60 million, I would like to challenge you right now. I think you're making up a story, because unless you can tell me who it is you're worried about losing with Brock getting that 60, then I'd argue you're making up a story. You're telling yourself it means Debo's gone and it means George Kittle. You don't know that.
Hargrave, Bosa,
you don't
Trent,
know that.
And Fred.
The 49ers have been telling you for a year that they've budgeted for this.
You've told me cap schmap ever since the first show we did together
cap,
3.5 years ago.
And I stand by cap schmap. I can't believe someone hasn't bought me a cap schmap cap for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good idea.
It's pretty good.
You're making up a story. Now, it does happen, but that would be my thing. I wish I could pull the 49er front office aside and go talk to me about 60 or 55 for Brock. And what does that mean for the rest of your roster? Remember when Kyle Shanahan went on the TK show? This was earlier this year, like 6 months ago, and told the story of the DeForest Buckner negotiation. Do y'all remember that? We played it then. Here it is again.
The Buckner thing was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. I loved DeForest Buckner. We didn't want to get rid of him at all, but we're trying to budget a certain amount of money. And then when it gets to a certain price and we know what the options are, you got to choose paying Buck whatever it was, which is a few more than what we were willing, which, all right, let's go there. Guys, what does that mean? Well, you got to get rid of Jimmy Ward and Armstead. Ooh, that's a tough decision. Well, I don't know where I'm going to go with that decision. What if we told you if you get rid of Buck, you get Jimmy Ward, Armstead, and the 13th pick in the draft? man, that makes sense from an organizational standpoint. Man, I don't want to lose Buck. He's like everything you want for a Niner. But those are the tough decisions you got to make. And that does make sense. You can go either way. But I understand that decision and had nothing to do with Buck. That just had to do with what we were trying to build and how many more people we could get. And we think it's 3-1. Those aren't easy, but I don't shy away from that.
That's the information I wish for. Because I don't care if Brock gets 80. If you tell me, but you're not losing anybody else.
Right. Well, you're going to lose players. Like, Hargrave is going to be gone, I think, almost certainly.
Yeah, but I kind of want him to be gone.
Fine. But you're going to lose. I don't think that they do, because already you've got major problems in the A gap. And I was listening to Bonte and Joe this morning talk about the wide nine. The wide nine works if you have good defensive tackles, and they don't. So now you've got Nick Bosa 73 yards away from the line of scrimmage, wide nining it up, and teams are just running down the middle, boop, boop, because you can't stop it. But that's a digression. I'm looking at the overall list of cap space right now in the National Football League. Do you know where the Niners rank currently in cap availability?
I have a very good guess.
Take
you ready?
A guess.
Number one.
That's correct, Mark.
Number one.
51.1 million. So they are going to have to lose some players. They're not going to lose any of the big boys. And they've prepared for this by storing up 51.1 million in cap space. So even if you give Brock 60 and 888-957-9570, it's an overpay. Light him up. You have prepared for this. By shoring up your cap.
I don't care if they give him 100.
Okay, it's crazy now.
I don't care. I don't care.
Now you got me worried.
No, you got, and you'll make up stories.
Yep.
Look, as soon as we got done saying this, 650 Comcast Business Text Line, it means no Dre Greenlaw. No, it doesn't. You're making up a story. You're making up a story. Unless 650 6926, whatever that number is.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If that's Parag, if that's you, blink two times.
He is in the 650.
If that's you, Parag, let me know, and then I'll know that 60 means no Dre Greenlaw. But if your name is Ken and you're just a Niner fan, you're making up a story. So you might be right. I can't tell you you're wrong. But that's the information I want. I don't care what the number is. I care who we lose if you do it.
And just real quick on Dre Greenlaw, how much do you think he's going to get if they do re-sign him? Because his last deal, when he was healthy Dre Greenlaw, game-wrecking Dre Greenlaw, he got 2 years and $16.4 million. He got $8 million a year.
You're going to get more.
Maybe. Not a lot more.
Well,
coming off an injury year.
He is, but he looked phenomenal the other night.
He sure did. For a half.
And then he got hurt again.
For a half. My point is, the Dre Greenlaw contract is not going to be a victim. Now, if you want to talk about losing Debo, that's interesting. And Javon Hargrave. And, you know, Kyle Juszczyk at 32 restructured his deal. That's a small number, but these are people, human beings, who you may lose because of this contract being up there in the $60 million range, if it does go that way.
Really quick.
Yeah, go. I'm sorry. Go
maybe,
ahead,
I mean, you talk about who you might lose and maybe throw out Debo or you throw out.
Sure.
Okay, maybe Niner fans are okay with not having Debo around anymore. Maybe the other way to think about it is if you sign a quarterback to $60 million versus $40 million or whatever the number is, maybe you lose out on the ability to go out and sign a center. A free agent center, or a guard, or a right tackle, or a defensive lineman.
But thank you for using the word maybe. Like, that's my point. I am going to trust that, and again, doesn't mean they don't make mistakes, because good Lord, they do. But the Niners are not a stupid organization. You can see one. You have TVs. You see the Jets. You see the Giants. You watch them. You watch the Giants go... Saquon for 12, Devin Singletary for 9.
Right.
Woo, we playing chess. No, you're not. You're playing Parcheesi, and Saquon Barkley's in your division, and you suck. You can see a stupid organization. The Niners aren't it. So I'm going to trust that they know this is coming. They've known this was coming for a long time, and they can structure it so that they can still maneuver. To me, that's clearly the way to go.
Well, they've already done that, and I'm looking at McCaffrey's right now, and if you get out of McCaffrey at the end of this year, the dead cap is $22 million. If you wait one more season of McCaffrey, you hope he gets healthy and he's 80% of what he was with this latest injury, it's fair to think that he can be that. After next season, the dead cap is $8.5 million. So McCaffrey is probably a one-more-year guy. Trent Williams, one more year. Kittle's restructure, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's probably one or two more years. So all these things, by the time the Brock number, kapow, really hits your books, a lot of these guys that we know and love are going to be phasing out anyway in their early 30s.
Dude, you got to maneuver. You're going to have to draft well. And I love, you brought this up a couple months ago, and I love it. I love looking at the Green Bay Packers. They're coached by a Kyle Shanahan disciple. They also have a young quarterback who just came out of a rookie deal. They had to pay him before they really wanted to. Boy, they would have loved to have more information. But running around on the field with him are a bunch of receivers making $2 an hour. And they're going, man. They're going. That team's going to the playoffs, and we're going to see what they can do. And they are a contender. They are one of four contenders in the NFC this year.
Jaden Reed, second round. Tucker Kraft, third round. Dontavian Wicks, fifth round. The year before, you got Romeo Dobbs in the fourth round. Christian Watson in the second round.
Yeah.
So, and that's what the Niners need to do, to Grandy's point. You need a center. You need to tackle the future. You need multiple defensive tackles. You need probably another corner. You need some guys, and the best way to do it is in the draft, and you're going to be probably picking 13.
I love that you just said this, because by the way, everyone's freaking out about that number 60, right? I don't want to pay 60. What are you paying Brandon and Debo?
I'd have to do the math, but I think it's damn near 60. About 58.
And you're getting bub kiss for it. You want to talk about wasting your 60 while the Packers are running around with Dontavian Wicks?
Yep.
Out of the what round?
Fifth.
Like,
Jaden Reed second, which means he's slotted at somewhat small money.
And there's criticisms baked into that because the Niners did those deals, and then their fifth-round draft pick, Jacob Cowing, can't get on the field. And Ricky Pearsall has an unfortunate year. So they're going to have to nail people at that position. But, like, that's where I don't want to spend 60, in the wide receiver room.
And just real quick before we go back to the phones about the draft, look at last year's draft for the Niners. They got, I think, five starters.
They're good players.
And, you know, you got Pooney, who's really good. He's a starter. And Green and Malik Mustafa, who's now hurt, but he looks legit. So you did pretty well in the draft as far as what you used your capital
And I'm not done with Pearsall at all.
No,
there's
of course
so
not.
Many circumstances surrounding that situation.
4 years and then a fifth year option if you're so inclined.
Yeah. Mike in Santa Clara. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
You know, in general, I actually am. I'm not. Look, this season is done. Okay, the season is done. What I'm more interested in is, you know, Brock, with all his contributions and everything with making it to, you know, NFC championships, et cetera, you know, just I don't think he's worth $60 million. So I'm not in that category of thinking I'm not worried about that. I think he's probably more, for my opinion, like $30 to $40 million. But you're also looking at, you know, other players you're going to lose, you know, for example, just one name I'll throw out there is Ward. Ward is probably not going to come back on the team. And, Dibs, I agree. I think what we need to do, especially with going into the draft, we've always had a overall average percentage of having good players coming out of the draft into the late rounds as well. So I'm not worried about that. Plus, you're probably going to get Dre Greenlaw, you know, on a smaller deal if you actually want to go down that route. And then we also have to look at, you know, McCaffrey's probably going to have Garendo behind him, P. Taylor in this case. But also, are you going to look at another running back also, because Mason's going to be costing too much. So there's a lot of moves that I see that are happening in general. And you're going to have Campbell coming off the books, thank freaking God, because that guy's a dumbass. In this case, but you know, you're going to have all these moves that are coming up, and I think we're going to be okay. This was just an anomaly year. So many injuries happened. So I think we're going to be okay, but just focus on the positions that we need to get, all O-line, D-line, and DB side of it.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you a question before you go? Because there's something interesting. When you said to you, Brock is like worth 30 or 40, like, How do you come to that number?
I just don't think, you know what, let me put it like this, Willard. If he had the weapons around him, Ayuk was in there, Kittle, Debo, all healthy. You know, Juwan Jennings has been, you know, technically our best receiver of the freaking year outside of Kittle. You know, if he had the weapons behind him that were not injured, you know, then, and he was actually making the plays. I mean, our offense wasn't whole, Willard. So that's why I think, you know, he was able to do what he did, especially on his feet as well, of making those rushing plays. But, you know, honestly, I just don't think he's worth that full contract. I think that, you know, he's still within that $30 to $40 million a year type of player.
Mike, thanks. I get it. I really do. I just wonder where, like, to me, that's like, it's a cloud. Like, we're just throwing this number out. Like, he's worth 30 or 40 based on what?
Again, if I'm looking at comps, he's better than the comps who make 40.
Yeah, he's better than some of the comps who make 55. He's better than the guy who makes 60.
Yeah, well, Jordan Love makes 55, right. And Jordan Love now is better. He's had a better year.
But Trevor Lawrence makes 55.
Facts.
And Dak makes 60. So
Daniel Jones got 4 and 160, and I'm looking at the structure, and this is why I think the Jones structure might work at a higher level. He got a $36 million signing bonus, escalated right away first year, bam. The next year he made $36 million, and then it was bye-bye because he only had about $15 million left guaranteed, well, if that, and you were able to flush him after two.
Totally, and he had it was such a small sample of good because it was like questions, boom, we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, about eight games,
and then won a playoff game on the road, and the Giants had... they had to blink. It was almost as if the second they signed it, they're like, we know that this isn't going to go well. And they knew.
Yep.
So they had to build in and out. And if you want to do that with the 49ers, I get that, and that makes sense. Sure, build in as quick of an out as you possibly can, but let's not make this that. Brock Purdy situation is not the Daniel Jones situation.
It's not, but you do, and I'm going to borrow from Guru here, and you do want some Geico. You want some insurance,
sure,
just in case.
Always.
Right, in case he gets hurt or in case, you know, he doesn't get back to that elite level where he was.
Tom in the city has some concerns. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hey, my quick question. Don't you guys think that York, Shanahan, and Lynch already know their max deal for this guy and what the number at which they're willing to let him walk?
I think they've discussed the number, but the whole quote, let him walk, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, he still has another year on his deal at 1.1. So, in other words, if you don't sign him to a deal, there's no way for this to not get messy next summer. Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's no way he's going to play with a franchise tag or, you know.
You can't even tag him yet. For him to play next year without an extension means he's willing to play for $1 million, which he won't. He won't.
No, never going to happen. But I think they already know their number, and they don't need any more evidence, and they should probably let him sit.
Okay, but then
I think they will let him sit after Miami if they lose and they are eliminated. Oh, I think they will have him sit. And I think that's what he's referring to.
You're talking about this year, Tom, or you're talking about, like, if he doesn't hit their number, then you just let him sit next year?
No. I mean this year.
I think
they have enough evidence to establish their max deal, their max contract, how many years, et cetera. Because I'm scared they're going to lock into, like, a Kirk Cousins, a Jay Cutler, good enough to get you to 9-8 without the surrounding cast, but not good enough to take you over the hump when you need somebody.
Yeah, I just don't know how many of those guys are even on Earth, Tom. The whole, like, everything created around him, but that one guy just dragged you to the playoffs and the one seed by himself. I just don't even know if that really exists. Maybe if you want to talk about Lamar and Josh and Patrick, maybe. But Lamar's not in first place right now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you can't just go win in football by himself. Whenever everyone says he can't play well without a lot of stuff around him, then put stuff around him.
Right.
That's your job.
Look on the other side of the ball where
put stuff around him.
Nick Bosa missed 3 or 4 games, and he's had a down year because he doesn't have a lot of stuff around him. So he gets double-teamed, he gets chipped, he gets held because offenses realize that he's really the main game wrecker you have to worry about. And It's complementary football. Brock can't possibly be his best without good players around him.
Maurice and Jonathan and Jeff and Brendan and more. We're coming. 888-957-9570. More from Brian Baldinger saying flip him for Sam. Do you have concerns about Brock Purdy's future? Do you want to try to explore a different option? We'll continue with this. 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr in an hour and 20 minutes. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And Valvoline Instant Oil Change is 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. We'll squeeze this in also coming up in the next hour. Dennis Schroeder had his introductory press conference today. Oh, he said one thing in particular I noticed that, he's gonna make you love him, right? Oh, that irritant. It goes all away with one comment. And we'll tell you what that is as well. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Doobie doobie doo.
I want to go, man.
The Doobie Awards are coming this Friday. Laughing Monk Brewing, Sunnyvale, 6 to 10 a.m. Food and drink are provided.
Yeah.
Just stop right there.
Do they what have a high chair?
What other stupid stuff? Let's drink. Thank you.
I'm going to eat it.
Like, you, human beings are listening to us right now. Do you need to hear anything else when someone says food and drink are provided? You need more little things sprinkled in?
Why do you think I went to the Niner game with Lucas?
I love the other stuff that comes after this. Oh, we're handing out awards, and Bonte and Shask, you'll be dressed up. Yeah, whatever, dude. I said food and drink are provided.
Provided.
You know, Lucas came in here during one of the other breaks. We got a little cookie-making station in the room right now. He's like, there's cookies in the other room. I was gone by the time he got to the word room.
Yep.
When their food and drink are provided.
Some of our coworkers are out there crushing it. Shout out Sarah Kawaguchi, the Gooch.
Sarah killed it.
Her cookies.
She has a three-cookie layered. She almost made a gingerbread house out of cookies. Like, very impressive.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Most impressive.
Make some cookies for the rest of us, Gooch. Like,
well, I would love to go participate, but, you know, we can go in there in like four-minute stints. And so I told them all I'm able to do is eat.
I went in and started decorating mine, and next thing you know, I ate the legs.
You're supposed to sweep the legs, not eat the legs.
Damn it.
Come on, man. Anyway, 888-957-9570. Come on, Purdy haters. Let's do this. Let's talk it out. I mean, honestly, at the base of all of this, and I think people get this by now. I'm not trying to come down anybody's road. But you do have to, sort of understand the hypocrisy that lies at the base of all things Brock Purdy. And it's okay. I've reasoned with it. It's okay. And if you think that I'm dumb for liking Brock as much as I do, that's fine too. It's totally fine. I get where everyone's perspective kind of comes from. I can be disappointed in the way he played this year. But you can go player to player around the league at the quarterback position, and you'll see a bunch of stuff that is way worse than what's being discussed with Brock Purdy, but no one has any issue with it because they were all top 10 picks. Nobody thinks Tua is better than Brock. Jared Goff is right now sitting there with the one seed. You could have a very healthy conversation about those two quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence makes 55. Jordan Love was signed to 55 after he had started about 10 football games. All of these things happen, and nobody really questions them. Nobody questions them, because if Jordan Love has a howitzer arm and he's 6'4", and he's a first-round draft pick, you see three games, and you're like, I'm done. I love him. Brock can do three seasons. He can go to multiple NFC title games, and if he has two bad games, I hear a lot of people go, yep, that's it. The slipper doesn't fit. This is over. Paper tiger. No more Cinderella. Let's go back to life. I get it. I get it. It's very hard to believe. And so, you know, Brock is Santa Claus. You either believe or you don't. It's up to you.
Well, we usually steer away from that one, especially this time of year.
What?
Kids in the car.
And they believe, exactly. As do I. What's wrong?
Nobody mentions...
You don't believe in Santa Claus?
Of course I do, Mark.
What, are you anti-American?
Don't even go there.
All right.
Don't paint me into that corner. Okay, you're the one bringing it up as if it's some sort of a question. It's a brick.
That was a splash.
The one thing that people don't talk about, contracts-wise, is Aaron Rodgers. How you doing, Jets?
Yep.
When you gave him 3 and 112.5 and... The majority of that, $75 million of that, was guaranteed at signing, and he's been awful. So we all talk about all these contracts and this and that. They still owe him $49 million. The dead cap number for him is $49 million if they want to get rid of him this year. So they're stuck with him for one more season.
He's been worse than awful because there's the quarterbacking that you're talking about. I would argue there's something even worse, which is he's stripped the pants off of the organization. They handed him so much power that they got rid of their coach, and then they got rid of their GM. And they're sitting there, and then they went and acquired his buddy receiver, and thank you for the fantasy points last week, but you guys have 4 wins.
Right.
You have 4 wins. Like, literally, Davante Adams talked his way off of a 2-win team to get to a 4-win team.
It's an upgrade. That's an upgrade, because the Raiders,
yeah.
And again, we can talk about quarterbacks. Kurt Warner going to join us at 4 o'clock, which is exciting.
Yep, Warner at 4, Steve Kerr at 5.
I'm not going to ask
who's
Kurt,
producing this show.
I'm not going to ask Kurt about the Raider quarterback situation, but that's what broken looks like when you've got a situation as bad as that.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go. Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man. You mentioned Mac Jones, and I started choking on the sidewalk. I'm like, no way, dude. Could that be like another little wide receiver with average arm partnered with little quarterback with average arm partnered with little wide receivers with average speed? We've seen that movie twice.
Yeah, but Jonathan, we were talking about backups. We're talking about potential backups.
No, I would rather have them draft another quarterback, preferably somebody big with a strong arm, because I really want to see this offense with a big quarterback with a strong arm and also a legitimate number one receiver with speed and size.
So are you wanting to move on from Brock then?
There's really no good answer, bro. You know, there's no who's out there. You know, if I was them, though, if I was a GM calling shots, I'll build me a Bentley of an offensive line and a Rolls Royce of a defensive line and just build the trenches, and then whatever happens to the quarterback happens to the quarterback. But, you know, Kyle has shown us he could take a Brock Purdy and a Jimmy to the Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, those dudes are just not good enough. Because you're going up against a Patrick Mahomes and a Josh Allen, those dudes, you know? They could thread a needle even 60 yards away.
So, Jonathan, those guys aren't good enough. Sure they are.
And how were they? How was Brock almost good enough?
Right,
it's because your defense was good enough. And so that's where we all get fixated on, can Brock Purdy beat Patrick Mahomes? Can he beat Josh Allen? No, of course, he can't beat them. But the whole idea of complementary football is you have a defense that is good enough to prevent these really good quarterbacks from dominating you and allow your offense to possess the ball long enough to shrink the game into a spot where your lesser quarterback, who's a solid B,
maybe a B plus,
however you see him, that's complimentary football, is putting your quarterback, who's the 9th, 13th, 15th best, whatever he is, putting him in a spot where he can win that sort of a game.
I hope this doesn't sound like a moral victory. You can't go to overtime of the Super Bowl and then tell me that guy can't win. No, that's so razor thin. That's so razor thin. One play goes this way or one play goes that way, that game goes the other way. And it didn't, so this isn't revisionist history, but the kid's 24 years old. You cannot go to overtime of the Super Bowl. Like, I won't say Jalen Hurts can't win the Super Bowl. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He lost the game 38-35.
Right.
Yes, he can. That's so close. Doesn't mean he's going to win most of them.
35 points, and your defense made a was it holding or it was PI in the end zone? It was holding that they called.
It was holding. And yeah.
It was just a gaffe. It was a defensive mistake that cost him. Jalen Hurts was pretty good in that game.
Yeah. Maurice, Rancho Cordova. Hi, Maurice. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Hey. First thing, I'm 32 years old, and there's like a sentiment, especially with a lot of, I would say, the older crowd, where you guys are okay with just being okay because you've actually seen the Niners. It's almost like a billionaire telling someone who's making $40,000, it's okay making $40,000. Don't worry about being a billionaire. I want with that type of like rhetoric to just like get away from me with that. That's something that I just really don't understand. You guys understand our position because you've seen a Super Bowl, so you're okay with 12-3, getting to the NFC Conference Championship, losing. At this point, it's been 94.
See,
Maurice,
this is a really interesting point. This is a very, very interesting point. But I'm going to clap back a little bit. I don't think because we lived through the 80s that means we're okay with being just okay. Because I don't think the last handful of the years for the Niners were just okay. They were disappointing in the end. They were a lot better than okay. And then my other sort of challenge to you would be, if you, what you're saying is you have to be so overly obsessed with just winning one ring, I'll accept that if you can tell me the person who's not named Brock Purdy that's going to give you that shot.
That's available right now. There is none.
Okay.
And that brings me to my next point.
That
brings me to my next point. We already have the quarterbacks who's going to win the Super Bowl during this era. They're already on the roster. This is historical data. You go back and you look at the quarterbacks that's winning Super Bowls, they are famers. You have your Nick Foles, you have your Chilfers, but they are Hall of Famers. Right now, we're paying Brock Purdy just like somebody on a hat that says Los Angeles Lakers, New York Yankees. It does not matter at this point. If you don't want to go keep searching through the draft for the next generational quarterback, you are just going to be a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Because it doesn't matter how many times we get to the Super Bowl, we're going to have to see Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes there. They're going to be there waiting for it. And we're going to keep losing. That's just how that goes. You can't tell me. People say, how can you tell me Brock Purdy can't? Well, how many Brock Purdy's have won a Super Bowl? Nick Foles? Trent Dilfer? Like, how many of those? We know who those guys are. How many of those type of guys win Super Bowls? We already know who's going to win the Super Bowls for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Our next guest is one of those guys.
I don't buy that, Maurice. I'm confused, but you said the guy is already on the roster.
On other rosters is what he meant.
Oh, okay.
Those generational quarterbacks are already spoken for. So Maurice's idea is go out and find the next one. And you can do that, but let's look at this upcoming draft.
Can you?
Well, you can, but you need to have a top two or three pick, and you need that player to be that guy.
That player needs to exist, which I have no idea if he does.
Let's just pretend it's Shedeur Sanders for just the moment, Kurt Warner up in mere seconds. If it is Shedeur Sanders, and you're picking 13th or 14th this year, he's not going to be available. So then we're back to the insanity of trading first-round capital to move up, to roll the dice, to see if this guy's actually one of those dudes.
And there's something else that's tucked in there, and this will surprise no one. I am going to flatly reject that Brock Purdy is Nick Foles and Trent Dilfer. No. No.
It'd be cool if he was Kurt Warner.
It sure would. So I know someone we can ask, and we'll talk to him, as you said, in mere seconds. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.